5. They call this the complaining psalm. You'll see as we get into it. Psalms 55. If you know a little bit about King David, he had a lot of persecution and problems in his life. Oh, I didn't put that thing on there. I'm sorry, Brother Don. Heard all that clicking and knew I'd missed something. Now, we record all these on the computer in case you want to, for some strange reason, wanted to save them or something, or send them off to your relatives or something like that, you know. Sometimes they might listen to that. But anyway, we put them on DVDs if need be. Anyway, Psalms 55 and verse 1. Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. Because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just ask, as you open up your psalm tonight, that you'll help us understand and get a victory over what happens to us in this world. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now you can kind of see how this is kind of dubbed the complaining psalm of David. Now, we're not real sure history-wise when this was written, but it was during one of his times. If you remember, Absalom was taking the kingdom away from him. Some of his own generals, some of his own people turned against him and became spies for him and traitors and different things like that. Now, here in verse 1, he's asking God to listen to his prayer. Give ear to my prayer. In other words, listen to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Supplication is a pleading prayer that you present before God. Now, he says, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. I mean, he's moaning and groaning and crying and going on. And he says, I mourn. I am sad with my complaint. The voices of the enemy, the impressions of the wicked, they cast iniquity upon me. They cast sins upon me. They are attacking me. With wrath, they hate me. In other words, they hate him so bad they want to do him bodily harm. Wrath is anger with action. They want to do him bodily harm. He says, my heart, he says, the terrors of death are falling upon me. He thinks he's going to die. He's afraid he's going to die. He's afraid they're going to kill him. He's in a bad situation. He's in a bad problems. He's got lots of things going on him. In verse 5, he is trembling, he is fearful, he's shaking. Horror has overwhelmed me. He has horror in his dreams at night. He's trembling, he's shaking, he's all fearful, he's all afraid. The enemy's all around him. They're trying to kill him, and he just don't know what to do. It's just overwhelming him. Sometimes we feel like that in the world. Sometimes we feel like the world is overwhelming us. Sometimes we feel the world has just taken us over. Sometimes we feel there's no hope. There's nothing to do. I don't know what to do. It's just beyond me. Well, look here in verse 6. You may have felt like this at times. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. Then would I fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness, Selah. He just wants to run off and leave it all. Fly off like a dove. He's just said, I'm fed up with it. I'm going to go out and hide in the wilderness. Kind of like the old saying, I'm going to dig a hole and pull it in after me. You know, crawl in, pull it in after me. He is just fed up with all of this. If I had wings of a dove, I'd fly out of here. and leave all of it behind. That's how his attitude is. Verse 8. Now, verse 7, it says, Selah. Stop and ponder. Think about this. Listen to this. This was a song that they were supposed to sing. Verse 8. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. As he's surrounded like a storm. Now he's asking for God to help him here. Verse 9. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. I mean, he's saying how bad it is. How bad the city is. He is surrounded by this evil. In the daytime, in the nighttime, there's strife in the city. There's mischief. It's on the wall. It's in the city. It's in the midst of the city. There's deceit. There's sneakiness. There's guile. There's bad language, bad talk, bad gossip. All these things going around. And he's surrounded in the city with all this stuff. Now verse 12 is where it gets interesting. For if it were not an enemy that approached me, then I would have borne it. Listen, if it was not an enemy that approached me, it's not an enemy that approaches him. It's not an enemy that comes face on with him. If it was the enemy I could see, if it was the enemy I could face, if it was the enemy I could pull my sword out and fight, then I would bear with it. I would bear it. I could handle it. I have borne it. Neither was it that hated me that did magnify himself against me. It's not the enemies. Then I would have hid myself from him. I'd have known who it was. But it was thou, a man equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. This is somebody he used to go to church with. This is somebody he worshiped with. This was his equal, his guide, his companion, mine acquaintance. It's somebody he knew. He says it wasn't an enemy that hated me. Well, they do, but listen, remember he said guile and deceit? We walked together in company in the house of God. Verse 13. 15, I'm sorry. Let death seize upon them. Let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwelling and among them. These aren't saved people. They're going to church with them and doing all that stuff, but they're not. This is somebody he knows. This is an acquaintance. This is a friend of his. And that's some of the hardest enemies to deal with is when your friends turn against you, or somebody that you thought was your companion, somebody that you used to worship with, somebody like that. He says, it's not an enemy I could face that I knew about coming. I would have hid myself from him. Now look at verse 16. This is what you have to do. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Now remember over in verse 1, he says, hear my cry. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Listen to me. David is complaining to God. He is trembling. He is fearful. He is shaking in his boots. They have wrath. They're going to kill him. And it's his own friends that rose up against him. But he's going to turn to God. He's going to pray to God. And he's going to talk to God. And he's going to give his problems to God. Listen here to what he says. I will call upon God. and the Lord shall save me. He has no hope outside of God here. Evening, morning, and at noon will I pray. I mean, he's going to be praying in the morning. He's going to be praying in the middle of the day. He's going to be praying at night. This, listen, over here, you get over here in verse 4 and 5, you get a sense of how he's feeling. My heart is sore pained within me. The terrors of death are falling upon me. Fearfulness and trembling came upon me. Horror hath overwhelmed me. I mean, he is hurting. He's in a bad situation. Things are not going good at all anywhere. So that is an urgent prayer request before God. Morning, noon, and night, he's going to lift up his prayers before God, and he's going to hear him. Verse 18, he hath delivered my soul in peace from the battle that was against me, for there were many with me. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Selah, God, he's always been with me. Now see, up here in verse 7, we have Selah. He says, I just wish I could fly off and leave all this behind me. And he stops and he contemplates on that possibility. Many times people would rather escape than face the problem. They don't want to face the situation. They want to just run off and leave and go be a hermit somewhere or something. Or they're just tired of world and life and problems and everything else. But he stops and thinks. And then he prays for God to take care of his enemy. He's the king of Israel. He can't just walk up and leave. He's put there for a reason. And he says, I'm going to pray morning, noon, and night. He's already delivered me from battles. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old. Even my old enemies. The God of old is going to come. And he stops and he thinks about that. And he meditates on that. And he dwells on that. And he lets that sink in. Because they have no chances. They have no changes, I'm sorry. Therefore they fear not God. What's he mean they have no changes? They don't fear God. When someone gets saved, there's a change in their life. When someone gets saved, they have a fear and respect of God. These people were never changed. They were his friends. They were his companions in church. They were people with him, but they never changed. They never repented. They never turned their life around. They have no fear of God. Remember the two men, the thieves that hung on each side of Jesus on the cross. One of them railed on Jesus. And the other one says, don't thou fear God, seeing we're in the same condemnation? Listen, when you're up there nailed to a cross and you are dying, you are not, there is no escape. You will die and then you're cursing God? That's not real smart. These people here, they haven't been changed. They have no fear of God. Verse 20. He hath put forth his hands against such as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. They were at peace, but not really. Verse 21. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, but yea, they were drawn swords. They talked nice. They talked sweet. His words were just smooth as butter. All basically what they say, buttering you up. I've run across a couple of people in my life that I call it blowing smoke. Now, listen. When another man in the ministry walks up to me and says, "You sure look nice. I sure wish I could look as good as you could." I says, "No. I know what I look like. You know. I've been in the mirror, you know." Now, I know ladies compliment ladies on their attire and clothes and stuff like that. You know, that's normal. That's fine. But when guys do it to other guys, now this wasn't about gay, being homosexual or anything like that. They was just trying to be a suck. There you go. Suck up, blowing smoke. And I've had a couple of things happen like that in the church. Or in other churches too. And I stop and think. What are they really thinking? What is their real motivation? What is their real goal here? It says his words were smooth as butter, soft as oil. Now remember, David said, "This was my friend. Somebody I worshiped with." But David saw it after. And David is that it's not an enemy I can face. It's not an enemy I can confront. You know, I would have went and hid from him, or I'd have fought him or something. So what's he do? He talks to God about it. Now, this enemy was a lot worse than anyone that I've ever run across, because they was wanting to kill him. He says, "I was trembling and shaking. I had horror." Horror. I'm in trouble with that word tonight. Now, you probably have seen this, verse 22. "Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." Listen. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how bad the internal gets, no matter how bad the government or the economy or whatever gets, no matter if you feel like you just want to fly off and go into the wilderness and leave it all behind you and say, "Have it. I'm done. I'm out of here." He says, God will sustain you. God will keep you going. God will strengthen you. Seems like the workplace is bad for this kind of stuff. When the boss is around, everybody's just working, 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 you know? When something goes wrong, "Wasn't me. I didn't do it. I wasn't there. I didn't see it. Wasn't my fault, you know. Must have been him over there. I saw him, you know." It's supposed to be your friend. It's supposed to be your work companion. You know, things like that. Sometimes you're at a restaurant or something or other during the noon hour. And there's a bunch of workers there. They went to eat or something or other. And you know, they're sitting right next to you. And you know what they're doing? They're talking about everybody else. The people that's not with them. Talking about the boss or the people back there or whatever. They're all bad-mouthing them. And they're all, yeah. Whether it's men or women, it don't matter. But you know those kind of people, if you're not there, they're talking about you. But you see, that is sin in the world. And you would think the church would be a safe place. That's not always true. Now, I'm not talking about anybody here. Don't say, "Well, what's going on here?" No. I'm not doing that, hey. I'm just giving you a heads up for in the future. Or in the past, maybe you've seen this happen. But we've run across people knocking doors. And they do not want to have anything to do with any church. And they won't tell you why, but you know something happened. Somebody, a bad business deal, something the preacher did, one of the deacons did, one of the Sunday school teachers, one of the leaders, something happened in that church. There's a story about he was trying to get somebody to come to church. And he was the garbage man. He went around and picked up the trash and everything. And he said, is so-and-so a part of your church? He says, oh, yeah, yeah, he's a big person in our church. Well, I dump his trash. I see what's in the trash. If that's the kind of people that's going there, I'm not going. Now, when that happens, God's going to take care of it. God's going to take care of it somewhere down the road, whatever. But you need to realize you are a walking testimony and people watch your life. Let's see what you're going to do. But it's here in verse 22, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. The righteous is not going to be moved. The righteous is not going to be displaced. At work, if you are a good employee, if you are a Christian type of employee, God's going to protect your job for you. Or He'll protect you somewhere else, whatever needs to be done. If you're there and you work and you do your job and you're an honest person and you trust in God, you trust Him with your money, you're tithing, you're doing all those things, He's going to take care of you. He promises He will. He says, the righteous shall not be moved. But see verse 23, but Thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days. But I will trust in Thee. You see, friend, I was reading the little signpost thing, paper. And they was having some big discussion about trying to get some zoning changed. One person said this, one person said that. And I guess the council meeting wasn't real good there. And different things like that. We see what's happening in our government today. With the president and what some of the things he's trying to do and all of those things. We see the economy. We see jobs. We see all of that happen around us. I've been studying about the peacemaker. Blessed is the peacemaker. We might preach on that next Sunday. There is so much that people want to have. They've got this plan. They want everybody to have insurance. They want everybody to have everything. They want everybody to have what they need, you know. The old saying, a chicken in every pot, they used to say. But somebody's got to pay for it. And when somebody talks to you, don't know what to believe. You don't know what to believe. Well, that's why we can't put our trust in those things. David put his trust in the Lord. That's where David put his trust. That's where David put his confidence. That's who David took his problem to, was the Lord God. And he says, I will not suffer the righteous to be moved. No matter what happens around you, stay close to God. No matter what happens around you, no matter what happens, no matter who stabs you in the back, remember, God's always there. You know why you shake hands with the right hand? Because that's the weapon hand. That's the weapon for the sword or whatever. And that's where that, to show that your hand was free. Remember, there's a man, a judge for Israel, that was left-handed. He went in to shake hands with the king and stuck his knife in his belly all the way up to the hilt and couldn't pull it back out. Well, hey, that's what it is. They shake in with this hand and... You know? But listen. David had the problems way back then. They're still going on. It's still happening in the world. And sometimes you just feel like, I wish I had wings as a dove and I would fly off of here. I'd go to the backside of the wilderness. But you can't do that. Because God needs you here. God needs you where you are to be a witness where you are. Heard a preacher one time say something about moving churches and moving around in churches and all that kind of stuff. He says, if you're not doing what you're supposed to do where you're at, you're not going to do it if you go somewhere else. Because a change of scenery doesn't change the heart. A change of environment doesn't change the heart. The only thing that's going to change the heart is getting it right with Jesus. So, I'm not pointing anybody out here. I won't say that again. All right? I just want to give you a heads up on what's coming. And I want, listen, people should be drawing closer to God now instead of trying to pull away from Him. Because now is when you need God. Now is when you need to be close to God. People say, well, I've got too much going on in my life. I don't have time for church. Something's wrong. Oh, I've got too many problems. When I get this straightened out, well, then I'll come to church. There's been some people that I've known, various all through time, myself one of them. You got a little cough. Little head cold, something. It'll get better. It'll be all right. Then you get really sick and you just have to go to the doctor. And you said, how long you had this? You said, a week. She looks, the doctor looks at you. Where you been for a week? Well, you know. I had this for a week. Oh, I can't get rid of it, doctor. Well, but by that time, it's got a good hold on you. And they got to give you a shot and some strong pills and all kinds of stuff. Because we thought we could handle it. Didn't have time. Didn't have time to go see the physician. God is the great physician that heals hearts and fixes homes and families and lives. And all of those things. That's when you need to be in church. I find so many people, when there's something going on, some kind of turmoil or something going on, they don't come to church. That's where you need to be. Under the preaching of God's Word to get some strength and some encouragement, some uplifting. You're no match for what's out there. It'll chew you up and spit you out and not even blink an eye. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. He's not going to allow it. He's going to bring them down to the pits of hell, he says. But I will trust in thee, David says. That's where you need to put your faith. That's where you need to put your trust. That's where you need to put your confidence. And when you step off on a new endeavor,
a new challenge. Trust God. God will never lead you to a place that is not doctrinally sound. Part of our Sunday school lesson next week. God will never lead you to a place that is not doctrinally sound. God will never lead your life to a place where you don't have a church. Unless you're a missionary and you're going to start a church. God will never make exceptions to His rules for anybody. And God always expects you to love Him first. Yes, God moves people around. But when people leave the church and don't go to church in a gospelly sound, doctrinally sound church, that tells me what they were when they were here. But you stay close to Jesus. Now, I know some of you have, Monday is lurking around the corner for some. That work day, back to the salt mines, as they say. But I want you to think about this. What does God have for me today? What does God want me to do today? Who does God want me to share the gospel with today? God put somebody in my path that I can help. And He will. And He will. Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a time of invitation and see what God would have for you. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. Dear Jesus, we ask that You'll take this invitation time, that You'll use it to Your will. And if there's one here that doesn't know You as their Savior, that today will be the day that they get it right. But God, maybe there's somebody out there right now that's going through some things in their life. I don't know. But You know, God. Maybe they just want to fly away. God, give them strength. Let them lean on You. God, let us always trust in You. God, let me always trust in You. We ask this in the name of Jesus.